soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on February 11, 2015. Today I'm going to declare the decree. This is specifically coming from Psalms chapter 2, and in verse 7 it does say, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, and it continues. But this is written by King David of Israel, who Jesus Christ himself is related to King David of the line and the seed of David according to the flesh. Jesus Christ, having bore our sins, was killed and rejected by the religious people in that day, came to his own and his own received him not. He was betrayed in the hands of men and given over to the governing power of the world, which was Rome. The Romans, the leaders, the governors, the leaders agreed with the religious leaders that were apostate in the days of Jesus, recorded in the Gospels, the letters, the epistles, prophesied throughout the Old Testament, and they conspired and killed the just, Jesus. Killed him, murdered him. And Jesus knew this was going to come, and he endured it to the glory of the Father. And right before that, Jesus was offered on the day of Passover, where he is the Lamb of God, slain for our sins, innocent without sin, Jesus prayed and asked his Father if it were possible to take this cup from him, but nevertheless, according to your will, this is what Jesus was always dedicated to do. We're going to talk about Psalms too. Ladies and gentlemen, these are things that are ominous, stunning, amazing, spectacular, and dreadful and fearful, and should make you consider the weight of these things. How you want to be on the right side with the Lord, how you want to be abiding in the Lord and in harmony and unity with him, not with man, that are set against the Lord. Why does God tell us things before it comes to pass? I want you to ask that. Ask yourself, why? Think about how God warned Noah about things that were not seen as yet. And by faith, God warned Noah. God said he was going to destroy the earth. The thoughts of men were only evil continually. He repented that he made man. That's how sorrowful and grieving it was to God. But he was long-suffering while those days were enduring, while Noah moved and did prepare that ark. That he was a proclaimer of the truth. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he built the ark. He was obedient by faith to God. How many people were saved? 8. How many people were destroyed? Many, many, many. And so we are here today. The things through the Gospels that Jesus said, I have told you before, and then when it comes to pass, for you will remember that I told you before. Matthew 24:25, Jesus said, I have told you before. He completely outlined the last days, the signs of his coming, and before the end of this age. And in John 14:29, it said, now have I told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. The Lord wants you to believe. He wants you to know he has control. He wants you to know he knows everything from the beginning. He knows the end. Have confidence. God knows that there would be no flesh alive unless the Father had shortened the days. And for the elect's sake, he has shortened the days. There's a conspiracy in the earth, and I'm going to speak about this. A great rebellion. There has been since the beginning, even with Babylon, when men came together, spoke one language, and they agreed that all the things that they intended to do, they could do. They could ascend into the heavens. They would build a temple. They would build a structure. They would ascend into the heavens since Babylon. And there's a Babylon today. It's a mystery. It's a harlot nation. that has world influence and will has corrupted all the kings of the earth. All rulers will have committed fornication, have committed illicit transgression with the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In the very last days, there's an odd relationship between the Babylon, the harlot, and of abominations of the earth and the beast. She rides upon the beast, but the beast hates Babylon and destroys her, strips her bare, and burns her with fire. Praise the Lord. She gets her due. She drinks of her own blood, for she spilt the blood of saints and martyrs of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the things that are written that shall surely come to pass. How many take heed to the warnings? How many people in the church world today, in the sitting in the pews, even know the things that were foretold by the Lord or the apostles or the prophets? How many are hearing the voice of the Spirit? Are there not 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, 5 that have oil for the lamps, 5 that do not? Shall they not be given their portion with the hypocrites? We ought to take heed to these things and consider this psalm, Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Imagine in their mind and mutter. This is what it had to do, a vain thing. The things that are esteemed to man are an abomination to the Lord. The carnal man is completely at odds with God. To love the world is to hate God. To love the world is not to have the love of the Father. To love the world is to be at enmity with God. It's base. It's lowly. It's corrupted. This is why we must be born again, renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and casting down imaginations and vain things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. We want to place our thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus. And you'll consider this. Verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. The rulers are the spiritual leaders, ladies and gentlemen. We know this because of Acts chapter 4. This is in Acts chapter 4, it documents the persecution of the early church and Jesus and the apostles with Rome, the governing, with Herod and Pilate, which is referred to the secular government, and the rulers or the judges being the spiritual leaders, the elders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the ones that hated Jesus, but they used scripture. They could quote scripture. They stood in a temple made of stones. This is the conspiracy. The kings of the earth set themselves. And every king knows that he's just a man, just like every other man. But they take it upon themselves when they know that there is a true king. It is God that's invisible. But they set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. There becomes a unification, a cabal, an alliance, an allegiance with this. The secular leaders of the world, which God is supreme and sovereign over, yes, indeed. But this is a rebellion, ladies and gentlemen. They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's Psalms 2:2. This is a rebellion against God and against his anointed, which is the anointed Messiah, the representation of the invisible God. This is figurative of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is the anointed. That's what Christ means. That's what Messiah means. This is what this psalm is talking about. God rules through his Son, Jesus. But these kings and these spiritual leaders band together, and they killed Jesus, they persecuted the early church, they persecuted the apostles. And the same would be true in the last days. This is the manner, the dynamic that of this conspiracy. This is what they say, verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is why I call it a rebellion. They don't want any restriction, any restraint. They refuse the authority of God. They're not going to listen to him. They're not going to acknowledge him. They're not going to follow him. They don't love him. They're Satanists. They're antichrist. They will have another Christ. They will replace Jesus Christ. They have their king. They have their Lord. And it's the tyrant, the devil. Verse 4. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah 66. Other psalms, other scriptures talk about the greatness of God, where heaven itself is the throne of God. We need to have a perception of how great God is. He's so great, so powerful, so infinite. He sits in the heavens. Earth is his footstool. This is the craziness of rebelling against the Lord when he's so kind and loving and truthful and perfect. He says he will laugh and have them in derision. He confounds them. And I want to point out that God's name was unpronounceable in the scriptures. It's consonants without vowels. It was unpronounceable. God is known as Father, as Living Father, Holy Father, Abba Father, by Jesus himself, by Paul, talked about God being our Father, and God has sent the Spirit of his Son in our hearts where we cry, Abba Father. But who is it that ascribes a name to God, makes up a name, and they argue between themselves, it's this pronunciation and that pronunciation? And I dare say it is the Pharisees, it is the scribes, it is the religious wackos that despise God, and they have secret religions, secret desire. God told Moses, when Moses said, what is your name? Who do I tell the people when you're sending me to deliver them? What do I say your name? And God said, I am that I am. How can God put his infinite in a finite name? It can't be done. I am that I am. Back to this conspiracy. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. That's great heated wrath, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want God to speak to you when he's outraged. You don't want him to set his face against you. You don't want him to laugh at you because you're so stupid, ignorant in your folly, in your foolishness and contempt. When God sets up a plan that your own foot is taken in your own device as a trap and as a derision, God will speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. This is how this end of this age will end. Verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. God says, you think you're kings? You set yourself up. You agree with your agreement councils. You come together against me and my plan. But aha, I will confound you, says the Lord. I will defeat you. You are defeated. I know your end. I've set my king, whom I'm pleased. Verse 7, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. This is the Spirit of Christ prophesying. When Christ was buried and put in a tomb for 3 days, as was written according to Scripture, as the sign of Jonah, was in the belly of the well, belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Jesus was raised and declared to be the Son of God. the begotten Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness. Praise the Lord. Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's what's coming, ladies and gentlemen. By the greatness and the mightiness, the spectacular power of Jesus Christ that reigns in the stead of his invisible Father, equipped, endorsed, empowered with all power in heaven and earth, is Jesus Christ, the victor. He will break them with a rod of iron. He will dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Verse 10, be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. This is the word of God. Do you get it? Do you get the sense and the weight of this? The earth today goes on. They think they rule by their own power, by their own minds, by their own cleverness. And they work together with religion to pacify the people, and it's all a mirage. A true servant of the Lord serves the Lord and glorifies the Lord and speaks of the Lord and seeks his glory. And there's fruit of righteousness. You can tell. They walk in love. They walk in humility. They are servants. But there's a religious system today that works with the government, and it is in conspiring against the Lord. And if you're in that situation, if you're in those systems, you are complicit, which is the meaning, it means association or participation in, or as if in a wrongful act. When you're complicit, you're working with people that are in rebellion. You're allowing, they're deceivers. They're deceiving, lying, harming the people. They are taking the people astray from the Lord, and they have an agenda and a plan that they intend to do. And by participating in those systems, you are yourself complicit with this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So the scripture says in verse 10, it's an appeal of the Lord. Don't be stupid, king. Don't be foolish. Be wise now, therefore, O you king. And listen, you rulers, you spiritual people, be instructed. You know, a wise man loves reproof. And in 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul, the apostle, who which was trained to be a Pharisee, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew all the shenanigans, all the scams, all the deception, all the false traditions, all the idolatry that was involved in the religious system. But he met Jesus. And he said in that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Think it through. And that's what this verse, Psalms 2, verse 10, is saying. Be wise, O king. Oh, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverence, with fear, and rejoice with trembling. If you get the true picture of who the Lord is, what he's coming to do, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That is Psalms chapter 2. In Revelation 19, talking about these last days, this rebellion that will be in the earth. I'm going to read this. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, "Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said unto me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, "See thou do it not. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he could smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, "Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. These things shall surely come to pass. What manner of men should you be? How should you live? These things were foretold. Take heed. Be as Noah that was delivered, rather than suffering the destruction of God Almighty. Be wise, O kings. Be instructed, O judges. Repent. Believe on him. Blessed are they that put their trust in him.